Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. You know what? I've got Venerable Tom Dorian here.
Hello,
and we've also got Ziggy. He's back from Rome.
Yes.
We're so glad. You know, you have to. We'll carve up some time today, I think, just to talk about your experience of standing there. You know, and you had a campaign button on, which we're going to talk about in a minute, for yourself.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and
right.
I don't know what you're. And I haven't seen
sign.
You.
Big sign. See the big sign. It was placard over his front and back.
He was wearing one of those sandwich boards.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's like
for Ziggy.
Ziggy for Pope. You know, Pope Ziggy the First. I think because there's not another Ziggy if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to look at my papal history.
There might have been a Ziggus. I don't know.
Ziggus. Yeah, but. Now, I think there was a Zagus, but there was not a Ziggus. All that aside, we are entering the conclave on May 7th, and it's just going to be one of those really, really cool times in the church. These don't happen a lot, you know, in just a couple times a generation, and it's like, it's always very moving. And so it just led us to, we did if you haven't heard our show, our previous show before this one, it's talking about the whole process, you know, with the Camerlengo and all the things that go on in the interregnum, but also just the idea of needing a pope and praying for a pope to bring unity to the church and to the world, and how powerful and how necessary that is for all of us. But now we specifically move into the conclave portion, and so I think it's important that we all sort of like, I really seriously, as families, as parishes, as a diocese, as Catholics, get together and start praying for the success of the conclave in assisting the Holy Spirit in this process, or begging that the Holy Spirit assist in this process. However you want to view the interplay between divine and human, right, in this conclave process. And so I think it's a good thing. We at the Catholic Cafe actually are going to do this as well. We are going to have our own version of the conclave. So what I'm going to do is we're going to lock the doors, and we're going to basically have 1,000 donuts in front of the three of us, and we're going to stay in conclave. We're going to stay under lock and key in the Catholic Cafe until a pope is chosen, only subsisting on donuts.
It's going to be terrible.
It's going to be terrible, but you know what? I'm going to enjoy like the first dozen or so.
But funny.
And then it's just going to be really bad. So we're going to pray for white smoke really, really soon, because we don't want this to be a long conclave.
Our blood sugar will.
Exactly. Yes. Right. So anyway, so join us in conclave. Go to your local Krispy Kreme or wherever you get your donuts.
You know we'll get a Pope Hilarious out of it.
Oh, yes, exactly. That's my papal name. Every baptized Catholic is eligible,
Pope,
right?
Pope Hilarious II.
Yeah, that would be me, Pope Hilarious II. And I don't know what your Pope name would be. I am on the list of Papabile. It's actually, so there is a deuterocanonical list. So there's a canonical list. This is the one that everyone recognizes. Then there's like a second canon of Papabile, and I think I'm on that one. At least, and there's only one on that list, and it's me. But that's the whole point. All this, you know, it's like, again, it's like driving past the sign on the highway that tells you what the Powerball or Mega Millions, and you sit there in your mind think, what if I won $765 million or whatever? It's like, it's not going to happen.
Right.
But you, in your mind, you do that. So in the same way, I think it's healthy to go ahead and pick a Pope name and think about who you would be. Right? I think that's a good thing, knowing it's not going to happen. So all that aside, we try to bring humor to all this process, but still, again, we pray for the repose of Pope Francis's soul, for his happy repose, right? And we also pray for a forward march with the Holy Spirit in the church. And I think it's a renewed opportunity for people to recognize that God is part of this church. Right before we started the show, right before Ziggy showed up, Tom and I were sitting there chatting, and he was sitting there like, it's amazing to me how many times, I'm putting words in your mouth,
yeah,
is what you told me.
Like a dozen.
People just come up to you and started talking, people who are not Catholic.
Gotten phone calls.
Yeah, where it's like, hey, so tell me, Tom, you're one of those Catholic people.
Right.
Right? And help me understand, like, what do you guys, when you're not worshiping statues,
right.
Like, what is it, what is this whole thing happen? What is going on? Why is
it's
the world
fun.
Fixated? And I've had the same conversations.
I have too, actually.
It's really interesting, you know, and I've also had the conversations with Catholics as well, who are, maybe we'll just say, less active in their faith, less tuned in to exactly the whole Catholic picture. And so it's a great opportunity, but, you know, I was talking to a lovely Baptist lady while I was sitting in the old folks' home, you know, visiting, and I'm sitting there, and some lady says, now, she saw my collar, and she was like, you're a Catholic priest, aren't you? I said, no, I'm a deacon. Oh, okay, well, anyway. And so she goes, like, tell me what's going on in Rome right now. What are they doing? What is all this? Because there's something fascinating to everybody about that. And also, I think it's a way where God kind of affirms just how influential his church is in the world. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not, it's on the world stage. Well, I mean, 1.3 billion Catholics. That's a lot.
Just a few.
Yeah, just a few. And so there's a singular leader. And you can't look at really at any other, you can't look at any other world religion and go like, so when that man passes away, presidents and royalty and movers and shakers are going to go to that funeral.
Right.
It's just not the case. Mm-hmm. Right now, there are people that highly respect certain religious leaders, mm-hmm. And for good reason. But there's not, in the same way, this sort of wrapped up in one person, this person that literally represents God's church on earth, mm-hmm. in a singular way, where all eyes are focused. And so this is why this conclave is so important. You know, honestly, I don't know who the next pope's going to be. I don't think anybody does. But I think the concept of the conclave is really fascinating.
Mm-hmm. But you saying in the group chat you have with the cardinals, you haven't gotten any hints?
No, I'm in one of those. We have a signal chat going. I don't know if you paid attention to the Department of Defense and all the goings on there, you know. But I accidentally got added to the signal chat, you know. And, you know, me and Cardinal Seurat, we're like buddies, and we're just chit-chatting. Here's the thing. This is like the apostolic secret, you know. This is, you don't talk, they're not allowed to talk about it.
Right.
And yet we know so much about what goes on in there, enough that Hollywood can make movies. And you don't really ever have cardinals come out of the conclave going like, man, I just saw that movie Conclave, and it's nothing like that. You know, there's some similarities. Now, it's not like that movie Conclave, by the way, which is
right.
Not a good movie for reference.
Right.
You know, that or, you know, Angels and Demons or whatever the various movies, conspiracy theory kind of movies that talk about.
Shoes of the Fisherman was good.
Yes, and, you know, I while this wasn't
love
directly about Conclave, my wife Bess and I, hello Bess, we're talking last night about The Scarlet and the Black, which is a Gregory Peck movie about this particular Monsignor O'Flaherty from World War II days, you know, kind of toying with the Nazis, you know, when the Nazis occupied Rome. And that's another good flick about the Vatican and all the goings on and
really
and all that kind of stuff. That particular Monsignor, by the way, we looked him up. She was getting some dope on him, and he saved 6,500 people,
wow.
You know, in all that process. So that's some really, mm-hmm. Really, really cool stuff going on. But conclave, this idea of moving into this conclave, there's some interesting things about conclave. You hear things like, well, they're not allowed to campaign.
Yeah.
Well, they're not allowed to campaign for themselves. It's like bad form to campaign for yourself.
But that's great, though, because that's very different than...
There's a virtue.
Yeah, I mean, we're so used to putting everything through a political lens, you know, and so I think a lot of Americans, when they hear that there's a conclave going on, we have this image of, okay, well, there's going to be someone who's giving speeches,
right.
Saying,
yeah.
Vote for me, and that's just, it's not like that at all.
And cigar smoke and all that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's my understanding that if you go in and you're advocating for yourself and you're campaigning for yourself, that's the best way to lose supporters. Even if you have a lot of supporters, people are like, oh, man, this guy wants this job too much. This is not a good fit.
That's a great point. And the idea that you would want to be Pope. Now, there may be you feel called, right? And so in that way, you would be open to it. But that's very different than seeking the papacy, because it's like either you've earned it or it's time or you are the one with the ideas and people, whatever. And I think that would be off-putting, I think, to some, to think like, well, there's pride there.
Do you think there's some campaigning going on for others?
Oh, so I guarantee that.
You think that's happening?
Well, I think there are people who can look at a man and go, that man would be an awesome pope. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, we all have our own personal favorites, I would mm-hmm. imagine. Mm-hmm. And let's say, Tom, I'm just going to randomly pick somebody, Cardinal mm-hmm. Seurat. I'm just going to pick him.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Randomly, you know. And so I would think that, you know, if you really wanted Cardinal, you might say something to him. You might say, I'm just be open to this because I think the Holy Spirit might see you as this opportunity for the church. Mm-hmm. Not to put your stamp on it, but to put your style of leadership in play in defending the doctrine and the dogma, you know, in moving forward. The concept of unity and the preferential treatment of the poor and all these things, you actually, I see that in you. Maybe you don't know that. Maybe you don't see that in yourself, but I see that in you. And maybe you'll go, oh, no, not me. That's ridiculous. But if like 16 people come up to him and say something, then it's like, well, man, that's 16 cardinals so far who've said something. And so I'd imagine there's people who are starting kind of a little bit of a rallying cry and kind of saying, like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Not necessarily with him in their presence, mm-hmm. right? So whoever the cardinal is that people sort of rally behind, I think that they would probably tell others that they're in this. I doubt you'll have, like, we want Sarah. Yes, we do. We want Sarah. How about you? You know, there's not going to be pom-poms and campaign buttons. Right. But I think there are going to be advocates, and I think there are going to be people that speak on behalf. Not necessarily making speeches to everyone.
Yeah, it might not be in the voting. The voting context, I think, is pretty quiet, right? And they just kind of go in and they vote. And
at least all the movies say that. And all the books say that. And no cardinals ever come and go like, that was nuts, man. That was just absolutely crazy what went on in there. No one ever said that. And so I would imagine that it's probably tame when it comes to... It's very solemn. We'll say solemn is a good word.
It's where private conversations that are happening.
Yeah, and they have those breaks and things like that. They have meal times where they discuss things amongst their table and get conversations going, and maybe even gather together. Parties is the wrong word, but groups that have a common thread or common way about them, you know, and then kind of like gather this group with that group and say, you know, it's a bigger group if both of us are sort of united behind this particular candidate, and I think it would move that way. But again, you can't ignore the role of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Even though there's some people who say, like, well, you know, this is I read George Weigel's book. It's called God's Choice. It was about Pope Benedict being elected, and I found it very interesting. And he's a much more he's smarter man than me. Knows a lot more about the papacy and John Paul II's biographer and all this stuff. But I don't know that I 100% agree with the title of his book, God's Choice, because I think even Pope Benedict talked about the fact that, you know, as human beings, we can sometimes try to overtake God's Choice.
Well, it was when he was Cardinal Ratzinger. It was in the 90s. He was being interviewed for German television, and he was asked straight up, do you think that the Holy Spirit picks the Pope? And he said, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, no, I don't think so. I think that the Holy Spirit intervenes to prevent someone from being selected who will bring utter ruin to the church.
Yeah.
Which I think is good.
Now, this is not an infallible statement.
No, it's not an infallible statement.
First of all, he wasn't Pope at the time. And second of all, popes can have opinions.
Right. I mean, he was a cardinal at the time, but he was sort of a preeminent and still is.
It's a theological opinion that he has. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of wisdom to it. I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at just how we live our lives, God gives us, we've talked a lot on this show about the permissive will. We're experiential learners. He gives us the opportunity to learn through mistakes, you know, and to turn to him. And then God will sometimes jump in if there's something that just cannot happen. You know what I mean? To prevent something from happening that is just definitely not his will, and it wouldn't be stopped with, except by his intervention. But God is very subtle in the way that he works, and so I like that approach in terms of saying we shouldn't assume that, you know, it's that whoever is Pope is someone that God like hand selected, but we should.
But we also can't say that he didn't.
That he didn't, and right, that's also true. And in addition to that, we should. We need to trust that no matter what, that God will be at work for the good of the church and the world through whoever ends up being selected, and that, you know, whoever is selected, whether it's the person that we want to see or not, we should be praying for that person and doing our part as lay people, you know, to help build a unified church, you know, at this time.
Yeah, 100%. And I think... I think we mentioned in our previous episode, and I'll say it again this time, that we are in particularly challenging times, maybe even dire times in the world, and certainly challenging times in the church with a lot of divisive attitudes about a lot of things. And then you mentioned it earlier in this episode, talking about conflating or seeing things through a political lens. And we do that so often that we see the church is an institution. You know, it's a perfect institution, like I like to say in my own theological way, a perfect institution filled with imperfect people. And there's this interplay between the divine and the human. And sometimes we listen well to the divine and things move more smoothly. And sometimes we don't listen well. We listen to our own hearts and the urgings and the desires that sometimes can be unhealthy. And this can affect the decisions that we make. I mean, if you stop and think about it, we were like God directly intervened in our lives at our baptism. Right? At our baptism, we were filled with the Holy Spirit. So much so that I think that if we died the second after baptism, we would go straight to heaven, right? We're just filled with God's grace. You know, and then at the same time, even though that happened, we still have this ability to ignore God, to turn away from God, to deny God, to walk away, to sin, to fall, because we're essentially broken. And while God has this healing remedy for us in the sacraments, we still are imperfect in a way, and we invite chaos into our lives when we shouldn't. And so in the same way, the holiest of men, you know, even like Cardinal Seurat, you know, would admit that I'm a sinner. I imagine he goes to confession, mm-hmm. right? Because I don't know what that man confesses, but you know what? I'm not going to delve there, but the point is, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, every single one of us. And so in a process as sacred and solemn as conclave, things can happen where it's like, I don't know if that was a good choice.
Well, and even if there are cardinals who you've seen on television and you say, wow, that person seems really political. They might have some sort of an agenda or something like that. You can't really assume that's necessarily how they're going to be coming into the conclave. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a secret process. And you know, we're living in a time when ever since COVID, it's no secret, church attendance went down in a big way and tithes in a lot of countries, especially in the West and in the United States and Europe have gone down. And so if you've got a candidate, for example, where people look and they say, man, this guy, he would really re-energize the church. This guy would really help pack the pews and get people excited about being Catholic. That's an example of something that has absolutely nothing to do with arguing about doctrine or liturgy or anything like that.
That's right.
But it's still something that could get folks amped up and say, like, you know what? He might not be exactly who I'd have in mind, but I get why this could be good for the church overall. We can't make any assumptions that as to how the cardinals are going to necessarily vote, because I think everybody, hopefully, I'd like to think that everybody in the church wants to see a rejuvenation of the church.
Right, 100%. again, recognizing that when we have, we all have personal views. We can't help it. That's who we are. We're all personal, and all of us have personal views and opinions. And the thing is, if you ask everybody who they think should be the next pope, you're going to get a lot of different opinions. And so at the end of the day, that's okay. That's fine. Because, listen, if I could have a nickel for every time I've heard, you know what the church needs right now is,
right.
... And I'm not saying they're all wrong and I'm right. It's okay to have those opinions, but at the same time, we've got to leave room for the Holy Spirit. We've got to leave room for a multiplicity of opinions to gather into a room. And remember that this room is a holy, sacred space, a time-honored tradition. This whole conclave, first of all, just the name, conclave, conclave, with keys, like with the key. In other words, they're locked in. These guys are locked in, and they have the sole purpose of what they're doing in there is without distraction from the world, they are there to choose as a body the next pope. And it's a really, really heavy burden that they have, because not only are they have their own personal opinion, but they know that, like, whoever they choose, like, everyone's going to, like, man, what was that conclave thinking? What did they have for lunch? I mean, this is a terrible decision. You know, they're going to have to deal with that personally.
They're going to get that no matter what, though, don't you think?
I think because there's so many opinions,
right.
Yeah, not everyone's
right.
going to be happy. But at the end of the day, we've got to leave room for the Holy Spirit and go, like, well, however this works out, I know that the Holy Spirit still got this thing in terms of, like, the church.
Mm-hmm.
We believe, as Catholics, that the Holy Spirit founded our church and sustains our church and guarantees our church into the future until the end of time. That's what we know. That's what we believe. So we need to live that.
Well, and I think building on what you're saying, so making this relatable to the audience, for example, I don't know if everybody in the audience has been to Curcio. I've been to Curcio. The three of us have all been through the Curcio movement. I don't know about you guys.
Make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to the conclave.
Yeah, yes. There you go. I wasn't surprised at all. So spoiler alert, at the end of Curcio, you find out all these people have been praying for you. Okay, I wasn't surprised at all, because the whole time I just had graces being poured upon me, and I knew it. I knew that something was happening at that retreat, and I knew I was being prayed for. I didn't realize the extent of it, mm-hmm. but it's a powerful moment to find out, oh, all these people are praying for me, and this is how this really went into the experience of the weekend that I had, and how God used the weekend to change my heart. I mean, the conclave has, you know, so many people, you know, millions and millions and millions of people, who knows what percentage out of the 1.3 billion are praying hard for this conclave.
How many candles are being lit?
Yes.
I mean, it's enough to, like, to give the sun, you know, competition in terms of light. Because I imagine there's a lot of candles being lit in a lot of parishes.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, there's a ton of grace being poured on these cardinals right now. And I think that we need to have some joyful hope as to what might be accomplished by that grace.
Now, I would also imagine that, every pope, like, looks at the rules for papal elections, and they all modify them just a little bit. I don't know if Francis did that in his pontificate, but if I was going to suggest something, they could probably squeeze 3 votes in a day. I mean, come on, seriously. They only have 2. They have a late morning vote, and then they have a early afternoon vote. And it's like, and they're done. Time to go to sleep. And now I know there's a bunch of, you know, we'll just say older guys in there, and they got to take some naps.
Yeah, I bet you, though, they're giving themselves a lot of time for prayer, reflection.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the intentionality of it.
You don't think they can be more efficient?
I think
effective?
They could do. I think they could easily do 3.
Because, you know, if we ran
votes.
The world this way, Tom, we wouldn't get anything.
We want instant.
Well, I do. I'm gonna agree with you, because I bring that up only because there's a lot of people that think, like, you know, just literally lock them in there and
right.
do not let them go to the bathroom until they pick somebody. They'll pick somebody. It's like, I don't know if I want like somebody's bladder to decide who the next Holy Father is, right?
Right.
I do. So I bring all this up because I think there is something about the discernment and inviting the Spirit in and letting things move in a Spirit-filled, solemn way versus rushed, effective, and efficient. You know, and it's like, hey, we can get 6 votes in today if we really work hard at this. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that's not the point. The point is to find the right person.
Right. Well, and I heard the process that also opens it up to make it where you have sort of, quote, dark horse candidates, where you're going to walk in, and there's maybe three or four candidates who are those front row candidates that actually have a shot at winning on the first vote. But it's my understanding, I mean, as a couple, once you're a couple of votes in and nobody has two-thirds of the conclave, they start looking at that second row, and as the votes go further, you're going deeper into the bench, and there's more and more likelihood that somebody that no one thought was going to get selected as Pope ends up getting selected. So I think it's interesting, like, the approach that they're taking also sort of opens up the field a little bit more as well.
There is a lot of intrigue, but there's also just a lot of mystery, and that's what I love about our faith, love about the Catholic Church, is that it is literally built upon and sustained in mystery. We don't understand how it all works, and so we need to trust that mysterious process, trust the work of the Holy Spirit in this process of the conclave. Pray for those cardinals. Pray they don't name Deacon Jeff Drzymski as Pope, but pray that they invite the Spirit into their hearts and then essentially select a man that's going to unify them as well as unify the universal church and also unify the world in that way and help everyone to see who is this Jesus and how important this Jesus is to each and every one of us. And that's what they're doing. That's why that's why there's such a heavy burden on the shoulders of these older guys. You know, you think like, oh, they're beyond their worth or their value because they can't lift. These guys they're lifting heavy burdens in the conclave. So pray for the conclave. Pray for a quick conclave because we don't want to eat all these donuts that are in front of us. But we pray that the Holy Spirit will be present. We ask the Blessed Virgin Mary also be present with them. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.